إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن والاه بعد. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu in Suratul Anbiya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began the first ayat of Suratul Anbiya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, اِقْتَرَبَ لِلنَّاسِ حِسَابُهُمْ وَهُمْ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مُعْرِضُونَ, which means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that humanity is in a state of deception, is in a state of ghaflat. Humanity is as if they are fast asleep. اِقْتَرَبَ لِلنَّاسِ حِسَابُهُمْ, they are in a state of ghaflat, they are in a state of heedlessness with respect to their reckoning, with respect to their hisab. وَهُمْ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مُعْرِضُونَ, so with respect to their hisab, with respect to the reckoning that is coming, humanity is in a state of complete heedlessness. They are not like they are asleep. I remind myself and you, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, once a group of Badu Arabs came to him, and one of them said, Ya Rasulullah, when is the day of judgment? When is the day of judgment? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked at them. There was a young boy, a small boy with them. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam pointed to that boy and he said, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives this boy a long life, then every single one of you would have reached the day of judgment before he dies. What is he referring to? He is referring to what we call the word in Arabic is Qiyamatu Sughra, the small Qiyamah, the small day of judgment, which is the day of our death. Whenever the Qiyamatul Kubra, whenever the main big day of judgment is, Allah knows, and no one other than Allah knows. But we will find our day of judgment and we will reach our day of judgment long before that. Because Akhirah begins when our eyes shut for the last time. That's when Akhirah begins. You don't know when yours is going to begin. I do not know when mine is going to begin. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take us in a state of Iman and Yaqeen inshaAllah, and to keep us in a state where we are not dependent on anyone other than Him Jalla Jalaluhu until our last breath, in any way for anything. But dua without dawa is useless. So simply me saying, making dua and you saying Ameen has no worth. Please understand this, it has no value, zero value. A man came to Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and he said, Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, please make dua that I should be with you on the day of judgment. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to him, I will do dua, but you have to help me. He said, Ya Rasulullah, how can I help you? He said, by your actions. Help me by your actions. So if the dua of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam needed the actions of that person to be fulfilled, then what do you think my dua needs? It has no value. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam once drew in the sand, he used a stick and he drew a rectangle in the sand. And then he drew a vertical line from one side of the rectangle right through it to the other side, and then he drew the line out of the rectangle. So you have the rectangle and then you have this vertical line going right through and extending beyond the rectangle. And then he drew some horizontal lines intersecting the vertical line within the rectangle. So the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, what does this diagram represent? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, this diagram represents your life. He said, this rectangle is the span of your life. This is how long Allah has given you. He said, the line through the center of the rectangle, which is extending beyond the boundary of the rectangle. He said, these are your desires, these are your aspirations, your hopes. They are to the end of your life and then they extend beyond your life. You build a house. When you build the house, you don't say, I am today 60 years old. It is highly unlikely that I am going to live for another 60 years. More than likely, I will be gone in the next 10 years, maybe 20 years. Let me be very generous and say 30 years. So as long as I build a house which is standing for 30 years, I am safe. After that, let it fall down. Who cares? Do you do that? Although after you are dead, what does it matter if your house fell down or didn't fall down? Yeah? If you went to Asabja the fifth, when Chaumala Palace was being built, Afzaluddaula, and if you said to him, you are building a nice Shadi Khana, you are building a nice marriage hall, what would he tell you? He would probably slap you on the face and throw you out. And he would say, you are a bloody idiot. And this is my house. This is not a Shadi Khana. This is the palace of the king. What is Chaumala? What is Falaknuma? Hotel, Taj Hotel. If you went to Vihar Lumra and you told him, you are building a nice hotel. Does it make any difference to Vihar Lumra what happens to Falaknuma, or if Falaknuma falls down tomorrow? What will make a difference to Vihar Lumra is what Vihar Lumra did with his life. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive them all and to fill their qubur with noor and to give them darajat in Jannah. But the point is that what matters is only what the actions, nothing else. I had gone to, I think it was 98 or something like this, 98 or 99. I had gone to the UK in Jamaat and I was returning from there. So my flight landed in New York. I used to live in America at that time. So my flight landed in New York around midnight. And my brother-in-law came to pick me up from the airport, Dr. Hazarji. So we were driving back from New York to Connecticut. So just him and I in the car. It was a 6-series BMW, green colored thing. So Dr. Hazarji, when he drives, there are two angels in front and two on the sides and two at the back. So that's how it goes, convoy. So he was doing 90 miles an hour. Miles, not kilometers. 90 miles an hour. This is like 2 o'clock in the morning. We were passing through a thickly forested area and way in the front, we saw the back of a 16-wheeler trailer truck. And on the back of the trailer truck, there was a skull and crossbones, you know, the danger signal. So it was probably carrying some hazardous stuff or something. So there was a skull and crossbones. So Dr. Hazarji says to me, did you see that? I said, yes. He says, if that becomes the symbol of your death, meaning if you are going to die right now, are you ready to meet Allah? If that symbol is the symbol of your death, are you ready to meet Allah? That is why you must have good friends. Because you must have people who remind you about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and who remind you about death. So he tells me, if that becomes your symbol of your death, are you ready to meet Allah? Now I've just come back from Jamaat. So I'm supposed to be at the peak of my iman and whatever. So I told him no. I said, I am ready to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu as in terms of his rahmah and his maghfirat, in terms of his mercy and his forgiveness. Otherwise, I am not ready to meet Allah. Now, we are doing 90 miles an hour. So, obviously, it doesn't take very long when you are doing 90 miles an hour to catch up with whatever is in front. So, by the time these two sentences finished, we and that truck are absolute neck to neck. So, he is in one lane, we are in the other lane.
exactly the same. And at that instant, Allah is witness, at that instance, a huge deer came out of the bush. He leaped over the road barrier. One bounced, one in front of the car, of our car, took the next leap, and the truck hit him. And the bow, smash, and it, the truck dragged him for a long distance. Now that deer, when it bounced in front of the car, was maybe 10 meters in front of the car. I mean, just right in front of the car. That car is doing 90 miles an hour. It's a BMW. That's the reason I said this is not to show how much money. The reason I'm saying is to, you can figure out in terms of the height of the car and so on. It's a BMW. It's a low-slung vehicle. It's doing 90 miles an hour. 10 meters does not even take 1 second. If that deer was 1 second slower, or a fraction of a second slower, that I would not be sitting here. I mean, simple as that. That deer would have come through the windscreen at 90 miles an hour, and Ali Hazrat Ji and I would be sitting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is how close death is. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, اِقْتَرَبَ لِلنَّاسِ حِسَابُهُمْ وَهُمْ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مُورِدُونَ. Allah said, they are all sleeping. غَافِل. But the reality is that if you want to turn your face away from reality, the only thing that happens is that you will not be prepared for that reality. Nothing else will change. Reality does not change. Reality does not depend on our belief for its existence. Reality does not change because we don't want to believe in it. Reality, what is real is real. What is not real is not real. Death is real. Whether we are prepared for it, whether we are not prepared for it, whether we want it, whether we don't want it, whether it makes no difference whatsoever. When the time comes, we go. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who determines what time that is. When it comes, we go. And that is what we need to prepare for. The question I ask myself and I request you to ask yourself is, what are we doing to prepare for the time when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, which might be today, might be tomorrow? What are we doing? Seriously sit down. Seriously sit down. Take a piece of paper and write down, what am I doing to prepare for my meeting with Allah? If somebody does not know this, if somebody has not been warned and they are living in a state of heedlessness, you know, maybe they have an excuse. We don't have this excuse. We do not have this excuse. We have been warned about this 10 million times. All Muslims. There is no Muslim on the face of the earth who can say that I did not know that I am going to die. I mean, nobody can say it, Muslim or non-Muslim. But definitely not the Muslim. If you are a Muslim, you know you are going to die. You know you are going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is your belief. If you do not believe this, then you are not a Muslim. As simple as that. If somebody says, I don't believe in Akhirah, I don't believe in Allah, then he is not a Muslim. So the fact that we are saying we are Muslims means that we believe that one day we will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, and we will be called to account. After knowing that, if we want to live as if we are robots, as if we are I don't know what, then who do we have to blame for that? Not that the blaming will change anything. We are responsible. As I told you, we are responsible. We are accountable for our deeds. We will die, we will stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there is no change in any of this. Whether we believe in it or we don't believe in it makes absolutely zero difference, except to us. If we believe in it, then inshallah we prepare for it. If we don't believe in it, we will not prepare for it. If we are preparing for it, it means we are believing in it. If we are not preparing for it, it means we do not believe, even though we say we believe. Which is a sign of nifaq. If somebody says, I believe I am going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but from the actions of that person, you don't see that, then where is this belief? Belief is not there. And when I say, his actions you don't see, I'm not asking you to look at others' actions. I mean, let us each of us look at our own actions. Forget about others. My own actions. Do my actions show me, not the world. Do my actions show me that I believe in Allah? If the answer is yes, alhamdulillah. If the answer is no, then it is high time to wake up and start doing something to change that. Because when it comes, it comes. And nothing will delay it. لا يستأخرون ساعة ولا يستقدمون. Allah said that ساعة, that time cannot be brought forward and it cannot be postponed. When it comes, it comes. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to take us in a state of iman and yaqeen and to be pleased with us and never to be displeased. Suddenly I just remembered one thing. Remember that air crash which happened over Delhi? Saudi Airways and the one of the Russian republics.
Russian.
Huh? Russian. Some Russian republic. Azerbaijan or something. I'm not sure. Anyway, one of the. There was a mid-air collision on top of Delhi between the Saudi and the other plane. Now imagine, what were those people thinking? Did anybody even know that this is going to happen? I mean, all of us have traveled in planes. When you are traveling as a passenger, whether it's first class, whichever class, if there is a head-on collision, do you even see the other plane? You don't see it. The only people who see that are the pilots in the cockpit. In the plane, you do not see what is straight ahead. The only thing you can see is what you can see outside your window. If it's a head-on collision, it's coming straight at you, it's not coming from the side. They did not even see. And then there is this bomb and that's it, khalas, gone. Everybody dead. One big fireball and it's finished. Did they know? What state did they go in? There would have been many people there who would have gone reciting Subhanallah Sakharana Hada. Because they are people who, for whom zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is normal. And they are flying, they are making dua of travel. They are flying, they are making zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are flying, they are making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is normal. But there would be other people for whom this is not normal. They don't do it. I'm talking about Muslims. They do something else. There would be people who are changing channels, seeing which movie is coming. We don't know who was doing what. But whatever they were doing, that's how they went. Now, it doesn't have to be like that. Death is sudden, whether it comes in an ICU or whether it comes, you know, in a mid-air collision, may Allah save everyone from all kinds of accidents and so on and so forth. But nobody can predict the actual moment of death. Not even, I mean, doctor, I'm sitting here, I mean, even a patient in the ICU, even though you know this one is not going to last tonight, can you tell me exactly what time he will die? No way. I mean, there is nobody on the face of the earth can say that. The person won't last tonight is an assessment. It's an educated assessment because you are a doctor. So, inshallah, maybe you are right. I mean, but supposing it's night, you tell me exactly what time. 10 past 9? Or 50 minutes past 12? Can you say? How are you going to? This is the actual reality. This is the actual reality. Even with somebody who's all his, his body and everything functions are being monitored, even with that person, you cannot say what is the exact minute or moment that person will die. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take us in a state of iman and yaqeen and to be pleased with us and never to be displeased and to give us the tawfiq to open our eyes before they are opened for us. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya rahman rahim.